Have you ever wanted to get out of a relationship and you didn't know how to do it? Well, this woman that we're going to talk about today did it four times, how she got out of a relationship by murder. Today, we're going to talk about Natty Doss. Welcome, Angry Faithful. Yes, today we're going to go over a woman serial killer, which we don't happen to go over very often. It's a mostly man's game on this one. But there is women out there that do the serial killing stuff. My tongue wants to get in the way of my voice today. We're going to talk about Natty Doss. So let's begin. Natty was born November 4th, 1905 in Blue Mountain, Alabama, now part of Anston. She was born to Louisa, comments are just going to blow up because I can't say this woman's name.
Louisa.
Yeah, Louisa Lou Holler and James F. Hazel. Natty was one of five children. She had one brother, three sisters. I'm trying to do that. Okay. She was, okay, one of five. Okay, got it. Man, I'm not fully up right now. Anyways. Both Natty and her mother hated James, who was a controlling, abusive father and husband. James was forced his children to work on the family farm, refusing to let his children go to school, resulting in Natty's poor academic performance. At age seven, while the family was taking a train to visit relatives in southern Alabama, Natty hit her head on a metal bar on the seat in front of her when the train suddenly stopped. For years after, she suffered severe headaches, blackouts, and depressions. Now, Doss blames these on her mental instabilities on the accidents. Now, there is some cases that, a severe head trauma. Roseanne and dang it, I love this comedian to death. Well, Roseanne's one of them that she had head trauma. She was hit by a vehicle. She literally forgot how to do math, and she was a really good student, and she eventually got over it. But sometimes in the cases, when you're dealing with head trauma, it could cause your personality to change drastically. And she said this is one of the cases, and it probably is, going from like the severe headaches, the blackouts, and the depression. But anyways, we continue. During her childhood, her favorite hobby was reading her mother's romance magazines, dreaming of her own romantic future. Furthermore, her favorite part was the Lonely Hearts column. Natty's father forbid the Hazel sisters to wear makeup and wear attractive clothing, as he believed it would prevent them from being molested by men. Yeah, I could see that. He also forbade them from going to dancing and social events. Her first marriage. Natty was first married at the age of 16, mind you. Time frame, it happens in that time frame a lot. To Charles Baggs, her co-worker at a linen factory. With her father's approval, they married after 4 months of dating. Baggs was the only son of a single mother who insisted on continuing to live with him after he married. Natty later wrote, I married as my father wished in 1921 to a boy I only knew about 4 to 5 months, who had no family, only a mother who unwed and who had taken over my life completely when we were married. She never seen anything wrong with what she had done, but she would take spells. She would not let my own mother stay the night. Okay. I guess the stepmother of Bragg's was controlling. Bragg's mother took up a lot of his attention and limited Natty's activities. The marriage produced four daughters from 1923 to 1927. The stressed-ass nanny started drinking, and her casual smoking habits became a heavy addiction. Both unhappy partners correctly suspected each other of infidelity. Bags often disappeared for days on end. In 1927, the couple lost their two middle girls to suspected food poisoning. Jesus, could you imagine dying of food poisoning nowadays? That when we go back in time and do these, do some of these, like this one that was in 1927, the newest medical achievement had been basically penicillin. But nowadays, it's a staple in some river in our culture. So having something like food poisoning and dying from it is very unheard of. Soon after, Bags took the first porn doll, Melvin, and fled, leaving the newborn Florine behind. Bags' mother died not much later, and Natalie took a job in a cotton mill to support Florine and herself. Bags brought Melvin back in the summer of 1928. Accompanied by a divorcee with her own child. Bags and Natalie soon divorced, with Natalie Natalie taking her two girls back to her mother's home. Bags always maintained he left her because he was frightened of her. It's good. Now I'm foreshadowing. I would be too. Anyways. Her second husband was Robert Franklin Harrison. They met and married in 1929. They lived in Jacksonville with the Melvin and Florine. After a few months, she discovered that he was an alcoholic and had a criminal record for assault. Despite this, the marriage lasted 16 years. Melvin gave birth to Robert Lee Haynes in 1943. Another baby followed 2 years later, but died soon afterwards, exhausted from labor and groaning from ether. Is that, yeah, ether? Or an organic compound in the ether class. Sometimes it is colorless, high volatile, and sweet smell, extremely flammable, and commonly used as a solvent in the laboratory. Melvin thought she saw her visiting mother stick a hat pin into the baby's head. When she asked her husband and her sister to clarify, they said Natalie had told them the baby was dead, and they noticed that she was holding a pin. Doctors, however, could not give a positive explanation. Oh, wow. Oof, oof. Anyways. The grieving parents drifted apart, and Melvin started dating a soldier. Natalie disapproved of him. And while Melvin was visiting her father after a particularly nasty fight with her mother, her son, Robert, died mysteriously under Natalie's care on July 7th, 1945. The death was diagnosed of asphyxiation from unknown causes, and the 2 months later, Natalie collected $500 of life insurance she had taken out on Robert. In 1945, Harrison raped Natalie. The next day, she put rat poison in Harrison's corn whiskey jar, and he died that evening. Sorry. Rat poison is basically cyanide. She put cyanide in his jar of whiskey. Natalie met her third husband, Andre Lanning, through another Lonely Hearts column while traveling to Lexington, North Carolina. She married him 3 days later. Like Harrison, Lanning was an alcoholic womanizer. However, in this marriage, it was Natalie who would often disappear, and for months on end. But when she was home, she played a daunting housewife. When he died of what was said of heart failure, the townspeople supported her at his funeral. Soon after, the couple's house, which had been left to the Lanning sister, burnt down. The insurance money went to Natalie, who quickly banked it. And after Lanning's mother died in her sleep, Natalie left North Carolina and ended up with her sister Dove's Dovey's house. Dovey was bedridden, and soon after Natalie arrived, she died. Looking after another husband, Natalie joined a dating service called the Diamond Circle Club and soon met Richard L. Martin of Jamestown, North Carolina. They married in 1952. Stephanie Hawkins, can you help me out here?
Emporia,
Kansas. He did not have a drinking point, but he was adultist. Before she poisoned him, she poisoned her mother, Louisa, in January 1953, when she came to live with him. Martin died 3 months later in May 19th, 1953. Natalie married Samuel Doss of Tulsa, Oklahoma in June 1953. Doss was a Nazi rare. What? Hold on real quick.
Nazarene minister,
who had lost his family in a tornado in Curl County, Kansas. Samuel disapproved of the romantic novels and stories that his wife adored. In September, Samuel was admitted to the hospital with flu-like symptoms. The hospital diagnosed a severe digestive tract infection. He was treated and released on October 5th. Samuel died on October 12th, 1954. Natalie killed him that evening in her rush to collect the two life insurance policies she had taken out on him. This sudden death alerted his doctor, who ordered an autopsy. The autopsy revealed a huge amount of arsenic in his system, and Natalie was promptly arrested. Doss confessed to the killings of her four husbands, her mother, her sister, her grandson, her mother-in-law. Jesus. The state of Oklahoma centered its case only on Samuel Doss. Natalie Doss was prosecuted by James Howard Emerson, who later became governor of Oklahoma. She pleaded guilty on May 17th, 1955. And was sentenced to a life imprisonment. The state did not pursue the death penalty due to her sex. I guess you can't be misogynistic if you're... God, I would have killed her. I'm sorry. I don't care, woman, man. If you do horrible things, you should be part of the fertilizing system. Anyways, Doss was never charged of any other death. She died of leukemia in the hospital ward of Oklahoma State Penitentiary in 1965. She was buried at Oak Hills Memorial Park in McAllister, Oklahoma. Now, that is it on this woman. She's one of those women that basically they modeled after the Black Widow. She had several nicknames. Granny Giggles, Lonely Hearts Killer, the Black Widow, and Lady Bluebeard, which Bluebeard is a French folktale, the most famous surviving version of which was written by Charles Prudent and the first published by Barbin in Paris in 1696. The tale tells of the story of a wealthy man and then having murdering his wives. That's interesting. That is very interesting. But this is a super short episode. I didn't want to divulge that much in this one. You know what? I did want to go in and congratulate Destructive Agenda and Vandy Streets. They're doing their own podcast, and they are basically, from what I got from the synopsis of what they were talking about, let me go ahead and get in this in Instagram. Basically, they're doing a podcast on people that suffer from, you know, they're survivors, basically. A lot of them are survivors, from what I gather, and they're going to tell their story. And hopefully it gives people strength to go about and get their, I don't want to say bad stuff because that sounds demeaning, get what troubles them off their chest so they actually start healing. Healing process takes a while, a long while. Death in the family, being, I guess it would be being a victim of a predator. And by that predator, being child molester or a person that rapes another a person. And this could be a man or a woman. Men get raped too. But I hope they do well. I'll get them a shout out. Thank you, Arl, very much for listening, watching, whatever you do on these episodes. And goodbye.